Good morning.
There we go. It is morning. Let's see if I can. Not good. So, yeah, I don't have the headgear this morning, and that's good. I'm okay with that. This is better. this morning, I'm going to be speaking with something I've been struggling with here, and it's called The Secret of Being Content. And you know, I'm probably just going to skim the surface on this. There's a lot to be said about being content. But I'll start in with Paul writing to the Philippians, chapter 4. This is 11 through 13. And just kind of jumping in mid-verse there, he says, "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in want or living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." And I think that's similar to what John, right, just shared with us. So I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He's supplied us with so much. So let's bow our heads in prayer before I begin. Lord, we just thank you for this morning to have another day to live and move and have our being in you and to worship you and to reflect on how good you've been to us. And Lord, I just thank you for bringing me through a very strenuous week and for blessing me with some words to say. I pray that you would anoint them and that it would be beneficial and that you would give me the strength to go through this, and I just pray this for this time, your blessing on it, in Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, being content, that's just something I've struggled with quite a bit, and just to give you a little quick synopsis of my backstory, some of you probably know it. I've been going to Richmond, working down there for the last 25 years. I won't even go into how I got down in that situation, but I still held on to my house up here and my church family. And so I go down there, stay during the week, come back up here, spend a short time with you all, with my daughter, grandkids, and then maybe stop by and see my parents on the way. So it's a very busy, very busy life. And I've got a job that's I've had for a long time that's lately, the last couple of years have been very trying for me. A lot of changes, and change is kind of tough, especially when you get towards the end of your career. And there's days where I want to run. I'm not content. I want to run like Jonah, or you know, just want to go the other way. But the Lord helps me through each day. And my parents, you know, I've got concerns for them. They're both 91. My mother will be 91 on Tuesday. It's a blessing to have them still around, but you've got concerns, obviously. And then, you know, my spend more time with my grandchildren, being an influence on them for the Lord. I'd love to have more time to do that. So I've got a lot of wants and needs and plans, but I want to finish well with what my job is requiring me to do here. And so how can I hold on to contentment during this tumultuous time? And I know there's some others who've gone through tough times, like Ted, you know, with health problems, and you're amazing. Yeah, you just keep, you've got that strength and commitment that comes from the Lord, and you just contentment, and you just keep on going no matter what. And Dean, I know, brother, you're going through a lot. I've been through some of that pathway, but you know, the Lord's going to bring out a testimony out of all this. He's going to bless you. And there are others. So, you know, all our situations, and then we turn to this passage here and Paul, and what's his situation? And Paul has some very dire circumstances that he's in right now. When he's writing to the Philippians, he's in prison in Rome. And he's You know, it's not looking good for him. He knows probably his days are short. He's been going through a lot of tough times where he has been in, you know, need or he's had plenty. He's had to provide for himself, being a, you know, just tent maker, whatever he's been doing. And he's been pursued by the Judaizers who wanted him to die. And yet he shows, at least in what he's writing here, he shows no anger or overwhelming dread or sorrow and anxiety. And he's able to write this letter to the Philippians as well as the other some other prison epistles, Ephesians and some others, Philemon. And his heart was for all his children in the faith that he had birthed and fathered, and for sustaining their ongoing witness in the world, and for the gospel to be preached and the message to be spread, no matter what, whether it was through him or his ministry or through others. And he had some that even preached the gospel in order to get him in trouble, you know, and make things worse for him. But he was glad that it was being preached. And so he alluded to this. He'd learned the secret of contentment. What is this secret that he learned? Well, to start off with, what is contentment? And so I looked that up. You know, I kind of just get a definition of it. It's a state of being in which one is satisfied with their current life situation and the state of affairs in one's life as they presently are. Wow. Well, that's what I'm struggling to obtain and hold on to, and that's what Paul is amazingly exemplifying during this time in which, you know, he might be facing his end. You know, characteristics of contentment: you have absence of envy, you're humble, you have self-discipline, which shows that you're focused on what the Lord is calling you to do in your life. You're content with that. You're not going after other things, trying to fill in the happiness bucket. You have a disdain for greed and corruption. So that's just general contentment, and we can get into biblical contentment even more. Well, what is, you know, I guess it's, you look at contentment versus happiness. Happiness, they've said, is intense and fleeting. It's triggered by external things, like getting an award, your team winning the game, getting a promotion. So it's dependent on external things. It doesn't seem to last, but contentment is much deeper. It's that feeling of satisfaction that's more long-lasting. It comes from within, stems from gratitude, from acceptance of what you've been blessed with, a sense of being at peace. It's more resilient in tough times. And so, you know, another distinction there is happiness is a feeling we get when our mind visits having a desire met. And contentment is the feeling of not even having the desire to begin with. So that's, yeah. So, you know, why is contentment so important? Well, without it, you know, you have envy, you know, covetousness, greed, strong desire for personal wealth and gain and fame and corruption, prostitution, and I'm not talking about just, you know, the sexual kind. I'm talking about, you know, selling out, you know, for whatever. Crime, wars, even a war close within your own family that leads to family strains and divorce. There's a situation I got to see last weekend. A friend of mine, his father passed away. He's 88, just suddenly. But he was a man of God. He had been very generous and very content with his simple livings. He and his wife, they had been married for many years, and then she got discontent. And I don't know whether it was mental health or what, but she just turned and started distrusting him in every which way. And eventually, it got really hard for him. He just couldn't be around her. He's being attacked. And so they had to separate them physically. And then they went and got divorced. A lot of bridges burned in the family. And I saw at this funeral, it was a huge family. Four kids. He's like 19 grandchildren, 10 great-grandchildren. And they're all there. And they were just praising this guy, how generous he was with his money. He gave money to, you know, just always concerned about the kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. And then they went off with the casket. And then I looked and I saw this lady and her friend over there. That must be Keith's mom, you know. And she could not participate in that. She was the matriarch of that entire large family. And because of her discontentment, she had lost her position and all those relationships. And my heart grieved for her. You know, more than the casket going out, my heart grieved for her. What a loss. So that's how important contentment can be in our lives. You know, the absence of contentment for a Christian believer can lead to a bad witness and a marred testimony for the Lord. And God's word warns us against covetousness, encourages us to focus on God's provision and strength. True contentment, we've said, doesn't come from external circumstances or possessions, but it's from our relationship with God, and it's a learned acceptance of his plan for our lives and what we're going through, and he's going to provide for us. Many examples in the Bible of failure on keeping contentment, and I'm sure a few come to mind that you all can think of. Go back to the very beginning, Adam and Eve. And they were not content with what God had given them. They were seduced and lied to, and away we went, you know. All the major cost there to all of mankind. Israelites in the Exodus, all their discontentment and what happened to an entire generation that had to spend 40 years in the desert. What a major price. David and Bathsheba. Man, David, such an esteemed man of God, and look at his failure. You know, it's just, but God still used him. But what a price he and his family paid. And then, of course, you know, the disciples with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith," you know, going through that storm, and. He was there content, and they didn't look at his example. You know, they panicked. And that's so like us and in our lives and so many times. And I think, you know, contentment and faith, they go hand in hand. You know, it's just you can't really have one without the other. You know, what's the source of your contentment? Who do you trust in? You know, it's the Lord, right? So let's look at what's the secret to contentment that Paul is alluding to. Well, first he tells us to recognize and abide in the true source of our contentment. It lies in relying on God's constant faithfulness and his provision for us in verse 13. Through all circumstances and situations, he can do everything. God will provide what he needs. But he also reveals his secret earlier in the chapter, in chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 there. He lays it out, what our mindset and actions should be. And verse 4, for our mindset, I'll just go through these ones that apply to the mindset. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." In verse 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your request to God. And the result, you'll guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And in verse 8, "Think about what is true noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. I don't know about you, but there's a lot that is fighting for our mental attention nowadays, and contrary to that. And it's so refreshing to just shut that off and just go and focus on some of these things. Just lifts your spirits immediately. It's a drain. I call the news the blues when I look at the news. Just, 24/7. It's just not much good, and it's chaos, turmoil. It's the seas of Galilee. It's whatever you want to call it. It's rough times, but we've got a source of contentment that we can draw from. So actions. So we talked about mindset, actions. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, I don't know about the Lord being near, if that's through his spirit being near, always with you, or if his coming, but maybe it's both, but if you can think about how you deal with people, and if the Lord was right next to you, would you be dealing with him in the manner that you tend to sometimes if he was right there? I know I would. That would definitely convict me and make me reconsider and not get so filled with anxiety and discontent, especially when I've got too much to do and not enough time to do it. Ever been in that situation? Yeah, that's a big stressor. That's where you need to, okay, I need a timeout. How you give time out to your kids, I need a time out for me. I got to go in the prayer closet. And let your gentleness be evident to all. And then verse 9, put into practice what you have learned or heard or seen from me. He goes on. And this, any mature believer that has mentored you, that you can see they're being godly in their walk, we want to put that into practice to model what we're being taught. And the promise there is God's peace will be with you. So through going to the Lord with our concerns and through being obedient to what we know we should be doing, there's this peace that will guard our hearts and minds. Let's see. Wow. Is that right? 12. All right. 12 o'clock. Well, I had contingencies, so... And I'm glad you're with us. You spoke, and that was good stuff. Let's see, what else do I have? Let me just add a few other things here. So how can we obtain contentment as Christians? And it's considered the rare jewel of Christian character. It's an underappreciated, undervalued grace that God gives to us. And I'll just give you this example. I read it in an article. This guy had gone through a bunch of disappointments, discouragements, unfair treatment, mischaracterizations, false rumors. And yet he responded to this man who wrote this article. He said, "My great consolation is simply this: godliness with contentment is great gain." That's out of 1 Timothy 6, verses 6. So that's truly exemplifies Christian character in the face of adversity. Adversity that's tested it, that's brought it out, and that shows it. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You're focusing in on what you should be doing, and you're trusting who you should be trusting. Another thing is, contentment is not something that we can do. We can't come up with some well-ordered, thought-through time and life management plan where we It's calculated to guard us against all the unexpected twists and uncertainties of our life. It's embracing the Lord's will in every situation, seeking His will, His strength, His guidance. And it involves what we are in our very being, but it's not what we do and accomplish. So we can't do contentment. It has to be taught to us. Taught to us by God through His providential school of circumstances. And it's His work in us. It's His transformation. Philippians 1:6, which is, again, we're doing Philippians, so you go back to the beginning, and Paul tells him, that God is going to be faithful to complete the work that He's begun in them. So it's His work that He's working in us. And so Christian contentment, we are satisfied, independent of our circumstances. And Paul talks about his contentment there in verse 11 of chapter 4. He says, he uses a term that means self-sufficiency, yet it's not, it's one that was popular to the Greek philosophers, being self-sufficient, not needing any, not desiring anything based on changing circumstances. But for Paul, his contentment was rooted not in self-sufficiency, but in Christ's sufficiency. He said he could do all things through Christ. And so it's something, the secret, it's something he's learned. And he says he's learned it. And so it's something we have to learn. We can't just flip a switch and turn it on. It's a lifelong learning and development and transformation of this character, of this contentment. I think, you go back to the example of the beginning of time, when you had Adam and Eve, and they, a lot of people say the sin, pride was the original sin. It was due to pride or superbia, I guess, as they call it. But there's also discontentment included in there, as we've talked about. And discontented spirit is both the fruit and the evidence of an ungodly heart. So that's something we need. All this is what we need to keep in mind so that we don't get caught up in the worldly vortex of discontentment. And there's so much of it out there. So we need to stay in school with the Word of God and let our ambitions be in line with the Lord's plan for our life, and make serving Christ and loving Him our preoccupation. And on that, you'll be able to enjoy the privileges of truly being content. So I'm going to close with that. And thanks for listening.